Hello and welcome to the American Horror Story podcast for American Horror Story Motel. This is for actually the Roanoke Nightmare, episode 605, chapter 5. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
And I'm raring and caring about this episode. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was the kind of gonzo, crazy, scary. I wish we could have gotten to it within like an hour of the season. I don't know why. I mean, what did you think before I delve into my analysis?
I thought it was good too. I thought there were a lot of really fun homages to classic horror movies,
right,
throughout, and it scared me. It jump scared me a couple of times,
right.
I wasn't staying awake at night.
No. I thought there was some pretty gruesome stuff and some kind of creepy things. I also thought that. I feel like that Ryan Murphy came up with the conceit of I'll play homages to the first five seasons of American Horror Story, and it really bogged down the plot because I wish he had done that, like, okay, all the commercial breaks, all this, the action in between commercial breaks will be homages leading up to the second episode where we really start. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I mean, I don't understand why we had to get this complicated thing with Lee being crazy and abducting her daughter. Like, why couldn't she just be visiting these two and bringing her daughter? Like all this extra drama they had to pile on really stretched it out. And kind of, I don't know, by the time we got to this episode is much better. I don't think it made the preceding 4 hours kind of worth some of the slog, though.
I'm going to reserve judgment until the end.
Okay. So you're back on board fully.
No, I said I'm going to reserve judgment.
Okay,
that's the complete opposite of what I said.
You're half on and half off board. We just wait. You're going to wait until the train is like the last car about to leave the station and leap on.
I've said it before, like, and I say it again. It's American Horror Story. If you're expecting HBO quality television, then you're out of your fucking mind. Like, if this is going to be a rocky road, and it always has been. The storylines are always terrible and disjointed, and that's why you come back. If you're still here in season 6 and you're expecting something different, then that's on you.
Mm.
And that's my last word on it.
Calling us out. All right. Shall we talk about the episode proper detail?
Okay.
We have a historian talking about the Mott family house built in 1789.
The worst historian of all time, or the worst historian actor.
I hope she's a real historian, because otherwise, I don't know whether she's trying to be a fake historian or like a real historian. It's an actress trying to be a real historian on one of these types of shows. But wow, like a monotone, flat delivery.
It's bad. It was bad.
But she's talking about it, and in the flashbacks, Evan Peters walks in, eyes wide and nostrils flaring, and buys up everything at an estate auction.
This is the most unbelievable scene for me. That's not how auctions work.
No, you just can't be like, I'm buying everything.
You can't say, I'm going to outbid you all, because unless the bidding happens, you don't know what their highest price is going to be.
Right.
So he could just say, well, they would have bid $100 for that, so I'll give you $105.
But
you're
doing
just
going
to take your word for it?
But then doing that for an entire auction.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Exactly. Like, they definitely would have only paid this much. I'll give you this much. That's not how it works.
That's how it worked in 1789.
Okay.
That's why they had to change auction law, because the Motts just fucking ran in and like, but we could get, nope, I'll outbid you all. Anyway,
and everyone's just like, fuck it, we're going home. No one ever showed up to an auction again.
We found that great, 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 great granddaddy Mott had severe social anxiety, and he had the Shakers build the retreat where he and his artwork could be at peace. He's very concerned with this painting. He wants these elaborate underground tunnels constructed. We've seen, you know, some of these tunnels and evidence this season, and he thought that if any thieves or people that came to destroy them, that he could get them out as some kind of underground railroad for paintings.
It would have worked. I think this is minor and temporary, but I don't think they established why he felt so strongly about this painting in particular. Or did I miss it?
I don't think it was just
he
any
just really
one
really liked it.
Yeah, that's the one of all the one. And I'm not like a classical artist or arts historian, so I couldn't tell you what the significance of any of this stuff was.
Yeah,
they then Well, there's a bunch of different stuff happens. There's a scaffolding collapses and a worker gruesomely breaks their leg as he hears a squeal gnarly. Mysteriously in the background. That was crazy.
Bad episode for legs.
There's numerous other incidents. He kisses the footman full on the lips, and they come to find out that him and this, I guess he's not a footman. He would be the butler, I guess, the head servant.
His valet.
Are they said they kind of dodged whether they were slaves or not, because
it seems as much, but servants, indentured servitude at
you
best.
Had like European indentured servants, and you had just your garden.
Yeah, not only were they gay, he was also black, so there's a whole lot of women clutching their pearls.
Yes, and he says about
servants clutching their aprons.
They would, they wouldn't have
their
pearls
apron
to clutch.
Strings.
He talks about that they judge us and he should get rid of all but him. But then he couldn't, play with his cock all day. He'd actually have work. And he talks a whole bunch of mess that sounded a lot like, Dorian Gray about, art, being frozen
it's
in beauty.
It's a Penny Dreadful reference.
Yeah. Make sure he knows that his lover knows that he loves these paintings more than him. They talk about rouging each other's nipples.
Is that a thing?
I don't know, but
did
it was hilarious. He's like, let's shut up and make love to me. All right, fine. But first we rouge each other's nipples.
Maybe he's just really into that.
Yeah. Gotta have the rouge nipples. Then things start getting rouging nipples is baseline weird, but things get weirder from there. He hears a bunch of crazy sounds below and investigates, and he finds a broken window and his paintings all a tatter. And what was, if you had to bet for how long it took from zero to Evan Peters' trademark scream, if you had about 3 minutes or two minutes 30 seconds, you won
you
the prize.
You win the bets.
Because, boy, he started there and didn't stop until the next commercial break. He is screaming and wanting people to tell him what's going on, and he suspects all of his servants, and none of them will confess because none of them did it. They actually try to say that they saw a woman out there doing weird stuff in the yard, which was probably Thomason and maybe Priscilla. And he says, nope, I'm going to strip you all naked, throw you in the hole, the tunnel system.
No, it's just
and
the,
then lock him in
the storage facility. If it was a tunnel, they could have gotten out.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. It's just like the cold storage.
So he's got a bunch of extensive underground tunnels and the storage room.
Well, I think the tunnel from the house has to go the opposite direction, or it follows straight under the road and those two things don't connect.
Or they're just bullshitting him and they didn't actually make tunnels because it was a lot of work. They built this one storeroom.
They just went
down there and
banged around on their pickaxes all day like, oh, this is so hard.
Yeah. We got you covered, man. You got your tunnel. Sure. Tunnels galore. So then the servant doesn't seem like, which his name is Guinness, doesn't seem like he likes all this and is comfortable with it. And Mott makes sure that he knows that he's a servant as well. And he looks up and they see a blood moon in the sky. And we then see Mott pinned to his bed, like they're going to give him a code red type alert. And he tears himself out, which probably the first homage to Hotel. Like
tearing through the bed.
Tearing through the bed, very, very much a motif from last season. But finds himself now alone. But there's a ceremony going out with a big bonfire in his yard. Thomason declares that the land is mine and will always be mine, and he shall consecrate it with blood. And then they fucking impale Mott right there. And why they impale him through the chest? Just kind of spit roast him on the fire. He bursts into flames. Evan Peters gets to scream some more.
Yep.
Appropriate level screaming, I think, for this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you get a tree trunk thrown through your chest and set on fire, you can scream as much as you want.
Yes. Get a free pass this time.
Guinness, of course, being the only surviving black man of this massacre, is arrested for the death of essentially everyone.
He didn't
bother to tell anyone about the root cellar, and they opened it up, and there's all these skeletonized workers. Did they get added to the merry band? Or did Thomason, open up and go, why would she leave a bunch of live people underground?
Well, they weren't alive for very much longer. So
it just seems like I haven't seen a whole bunch of servants milling around as ghosts at this point.
You're right. There would be a shit ton of servant ghosts.
You would think so.
Yes.
Then there's a couple of like little interesting tidbits for us.
Also,
us super fans. What?
Now that I'm thinking about it, they say later that, or the hillbilly mother says later that Thomason demands a blood sacrifice every year.
Right. Just to reconsecrate
there
it every
year.
There
are not enough ghost bodies to span back to 1792 present at this roast.
I'll do you one better.
Will you?
There's not enough blood moons. Like, that's a very specific...
And the house
specific
has been occupied, every 10 years?
Yeah.
Don't you think you want the house to be occupied frequently? Like, don't try to drive people away. Let them wait until the blood moon and then get your blood sacrificed.
Yeah, and I guess the hint is that most years the Polks kind of take care of it from within their own inbred family.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But it seems like Thomason herself does the chopping, so she can only do that during the quadrennial lunar cycle that we discussed last week. This feels a little thin, but what are you gonna do? Uh-huh. It was cool. I can't get enough of the blood moon. The blood moon's fucking righteous.
Yeah, looks good.
So they give little tidbits for our super fans that the Mott house was kept in the family until the last of the line ended in scandal in 1952, probably in Jupiter, Florida, if I was to guess.
They said in Florida, so.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Most definitely.
And
the dandy was the last of them.
Right. So we then take it away from the historian, and we see Flora, Shelby, and Matt in reenactment mode. Up in their bedroom, and they're discussing making a desperate run for the truck. That Matt's going to try to distract these ghosts, and they start creeping down the staircase when a scary Taiwanese girl spider comes shooting out and abducts Flora. And this is the creepiest fucking thing.
Very much a, what is it, The Grudge, The Ring?
Japanese horror in general, yeah. All that kind of stuff. I bet, and it's the whole time, and then Matt looks out, and they're burning her car and his truck, and I'm like, bet you'd wish you burnt the house down now, you fuckers.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shelby? You wish you'd have burnt the house down now,
or at the very least, take a 6-day blood moon stay in a hotel? I mean,
sure.
For fuck's sake, it's not as if you were warned or anything.
I mean, they did. That's the thing, though. They could have gotten Flora back. They could have burned the house down. They could have just fucked off permanently. Because at the end result of this, and I guess this is tragic if you actually cared about the characters, is that they lost everything and they're homeless, but they went through these terrible experiences. So, whatever. They could have just listened to Cricket
and no one
would have died.
Why would Thomason want the house burnt down if she requires a blood sacrifice every year? Don't the Polks become their permanent targets?
But I think the Polks would accept that, for the ability to live here on this land in peace, we have to give. I mean, they've got a fucked up weird relation. But do they do calculus for human lives and their family the way normal people do?
Not worth it. Yes.
All right. Do they? All right. So they find Flora. The spider girl retreats for some stupid reason, and there's a lot of skittering going on, and there's a pig man, and the hunters with their faces blown off, and they look all creepy and freaking cool. By the way, pig man would be if you were comfortable taking your shirt off, be a pretty strong costume this year. I mean, that would be just unnerving. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can get a really good realistic pig head.
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty easy to put together.
Yeah.
Because you just do that, and you wear some canvas jeans, and you go bare-chested, and you just scream and squeal a lot.
And squeal like a pig.
I'd be afraid of that. So Edward Philippe Mott appears and says he wants to save them, and he leads them to the tunnels, and there's something really cool they're doing where his face kind of morphs into... something, but
when the
cross
light
between
passes
a skull.
In front of his face, he gets this haunted, black eye type of
it's a cross
face.
Between, a skull and Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of creepy and neat. And, you know, he explains that he's not really trying to save them. He just can't suffer 3 more souls with his social anxiety.
Right.
And he leads them to what I assume is the edge of the property, and then leaves them. And he says, they beg him to stay, and he's like, "You living prize your lives, but it's the really trophy that's misprized is to die in peace, and then he disappears. Now, what I understand about him is he surely knows how this deal works.
Oh, yeah.
If he's sincere about not wanting three more souls rattling around here in eternity, why the fuck would he drop them off at the property line of the Polks so they can just drag him back and offer him up to Thomason?
Maybe he...
Not?
I don't know. Was he present at the house closing? Does he know that there's this rivalry going on? Did he assume finding these three on their property meant that they would just be killed then?
But he's just seeing, and you know the Polks have been involved in this. They just see the cycle over and over again. I just thought he would, I don't know, lead him the other direction, lead him towards the road, or something. I don't know. I mean, I get I get that the tunnel only goes where the tunnel goes. But right. Once he gets out in the woods, he can take him anywhere.
Yeah, he's explicitly said he was not going towards the road.
Right. I don't know.
Maybe he gets lost in the woods, too.
Sure. It's dark and scary. They see a light at a cabin, and Shelby talks a mess about predators and prey and how prey don't like to go towards light and because that's dangerous. And then they see the pigs, and they realize this is the cabin in the woods where they found the feral boys. And as soon as they realize that, they are attacked, sacked, and rifle-butted in the submission.
Mm-hmm.
So, we see a terrifying scene when they come to Elias, Russell Edgington himself, is strapped to the table, sans arm and leg. He was on death's door when the Polks found them, but Mama worked her magic.
What is he now?
I don't know. That's the thing. I guess they were...
He has to have lost a lot more blood.
I know, but they're making beef jerky out of him, is what they imply, that they're slowly eating him and his limbs...
Yeah.
Bummer
that we're definitely not going to get. Did they bring him back just to establish that there would be no Russell Edgington ghost? That's all we get?
I don't know, but... Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because that's a fucking waste of Edgington.
Hey, look, man, I can only shoot, like, three episodes and partial ones at that. So yeah. Make sure that I die off the fucking property so that I'm not stuck in here. I don't know. I thought that, I was... there's just a lot of horrific stuff. She offers the Matt and Shelby and Flora jerky, sweet meat, but apparently she's made rotten meat and they blame him for some reason because, again, they're just... this Mama character's just crazy. She says he's bad meat and one of the hillbillies smashes his face. They're mad that they came in here with their big money and bought the house from underneath it, and they wanted to keep it empty for the butcher because they've had a deal in place with her for over 200 years, and they give her some source of fresh blood, and she leaves them alone, and no one disturbs their crop, which we find is cannabis. And if you have an exclusive, giant, really high-end cannabis crop, why the fuck are you living in a shack with no electricity and eating and cannibalizing people? Like, what do you need
money? Yeah, you'd have a lot of money.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it would be classy. I'm not saying it would be money well spent. But, you know.
Yeah.
They'd have a bass boat.
Well,
they'd
know
have, like, one of those reflecting balls in their yard. They'd double wide trailer. It wouldn't
absolutely
be. I mean, you know, they. I guess they do have power because there was light coming from the cabin.
Yeah, they do have power.
They could keep their fucking fridge working. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, I take it that, like, or maybe there's really bad weed deer. They're just giving it away. They're like Robin Hood of weed. They rob from themselves and give to the poor.
Yes. Let's go with their. Good Samaritans.
Give to the stoned.
Give to the stoned.
They're pissed that they led the cops there and they took away their babies because I'm assuming they would be...
They left their babies, though? I would hope for an explanation as to why they weren't there. Just a quick one line.
Yeah.
We just went to go harvest the weed or
right.
Something
we
like that.
We were out cutting the fields and we left the them suckling on old Bessie and we came home and much to our surprise, they's gone.
Yeah, and also explain all the weird shit inside of your house. The skulls and the smellies and the flies and all that shit. Well, I guess you don't have to explain.
I was going to say, I think that's explained. I know exactly
what are you
what's
doing
going
with that money? What are you doing
know,
with that money?
I know. Did
they just save up $35,000 at weed sales and they weren't spending any money at all?
What it is.
And
is,
they went to that house auction to buy that house that day.
That's the thing.
And they got outbid.
I think the problem is they haven't raised their weed prices for 200 years.
That's it. They're still selling dime bags for an actual dime.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... That's why they could always scrape together. God damn, we've been moving weed for like 20 years. Mom and all the guys, $10,000. Anyway, Lee, we cut away to Lee because, and because I was just at the end of this, I'm like, how the fuck are they going to get away with this? And then I'm like, oh yes, Lee's in the weeds and she's going to come back and save the day. Lo, I was right. Lee is bemoaning these 48 wasted hours that they've been able to hold her without charging her, and you know they've been questioning her.
Which, why wouldn't they charge her? I haven't gotten any evidence,
because the only evidence I guess they had was Shelby's.
She left right after and came back right after he died. Like, that's strong.
You've listened to season one of Serial and seen Making a Murderer.
Yeah, those people were wrongfully imprisoned, like she should be.
Oh yeah. I want to say again, Angela Bassett.
My God,
who
that
looks
woman.
Particularly fierce and fine in this scene.
And
is,
looks particularly 35, is...
Is 58 years 50 old.
50 fucking 8 years old.
How? How is this possible?
Well, I think this is just a theory. During the shooting of the season, Coven...
Uh-huh.
She was
really... Well, she was 56.
Well, she was really playing herself, and that is she's a voodoo witch.
She really is.
She is.
Or she could be a vampire.
Either one.
Or Glampire. Either one.
I mean, that's the reason she came to Ryan Murphy's.
Like, I get it. Ha ha. Black don't crack. But for real. For real. This is not the absence of wrinkles. This is a firmness and tone and youthful vigor that one does not usually expect from.
I'm 26. I don't even have that right now.
Right. I've never looked this good in my life.
No, never.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So she gets out of the pokey. The clink,
mm-hmm.
the questioning room, and she sees a bunch of missed messages from Matt. The most important, which is, we found Flora! !
All right,
poop emoji, thumbs up 100. I thought it's like, okay, that's interesting.
Right.
That's an interesting take on it,
yeah,
but
that's,
you know,
fair.
You can't begrudge brother and sister their emoji code. There is a tense truck ride with the hillbillies. They're going to go take Matt and Flora and Shelby back to the butcher lady, and they're sitting there with a shotgun pointed at them. And Matt is waiting for his moment, and the dimmer of the Hilljacks gets briefly distracted. There's a struggle for the gun. Shelby
doesn't. Pointing directly at Shelby and Flora's faces.
They
which,
don't even bother to duck or
nope.
run for cover
nope.
or anything. And I was about to like
jump out of the truck. Nope.
I was in mid-sentence of my note writing down, Shelby does them those favors and is useless. But nope, never mind. She kicked them off the truck.
Mm-hmm. It's the last time she'll use her feet well.
Just the last time, too. The just after... Is that what you said?
That's exactly
you said it's the first time.
No.
Oh, first yeah. and last. Just after the kind of half a face guy gets shot. Now he's no face.
No face at all.
No face at all. And I'm... The other thing is... They don't take the truck. They don't take the gun. Why would they not immediately jump in the truck, pull that body out of there, and start bombing down the road? If not that, why would they not take the gun with them?
I think that the windshield is just covered in brain matter. Probably the windshield is cracked. It's not drivable. Like, would you even want to? I'd rather run through the woods than have to sit in the seat that's covered in blood and brains.
Woman, if we were in the situation where cannibals were after us, I would tell you to get in the fucking car,
the
and I would drive that truck Ace Ventura style, my head out the window, 80 miles an hour. Come on. You're going to try to run through the woods? Would you at least pick up the shotgun, or is it
oh,
too
absolutely.
Brainy, too? Maybe
absolutely.
It was covered with a little bit of blood
so
and
you
brain
go,
matter.
So you go, okay, so I'm not saying you take the truck. Not a fan of that idea.
Okay.
I mean, at the very least, you're going to have to, like, use your hands to, like, clean the windshield so you can see something. Use your hands to move the body. Not a fan of any of that. But
Jules and Vincent did in the Pulp Fiction.
But the alternative is not to go lie in the grass 20 feet away and wait for them to grab the gun and catch you.
Right.
There's three more people
right.
in that truck.
Right. Which, of course, he immediately finds them. Like, they don't even get, like you said, 20 feet away, and the shotgun's back in her face.
And their phone's ringing, and they're crying and breathing loudly. Like, run through the woods. Why
right.
did you stop?
Right.
What did you hope would happen?
So you mentioned the phone ringing.
another plan.
Okay.
And then I'll be done with this.
Okay.
Is while that guy's laying on the ground, you run down the road that way.
Like, but then he gets in the truck because he don't give a fuck about the brains and runs you down.
Yeah, that's, but it's the problem. At least going to take them 3 minutes. Let's say the least amount of time it takes them 3 minutes to get their shit together, get back in the truck, get it flipped around, drive that way. Then
didn't
you hide behind
20
a tree.
Seconds to do. I just think I maybe you'd stay behind, but I'd get in a truck and bomb up the road.
All right. Well, if we ever get in that position, we'll find out what we're really made of.
I bet
of.
You get in the passenger seat and you let me drive the bloody truck.
I'll get in the back at best.
There you go. Just ride in the truck.
With the shotgun.
I got this.
And
I got
just
this.
Shoot it randomly.
So Lee calls Matt. He doesn't answer because obviously all this shit's going on. And she figures he's in trouble since he ditched her call. So he asks the police officer for a ride. Meanwhile, we cut back and Mama is pissed. She's pissed that another one of her babies is dead, so she grabs
another.
A sledgehammer, and Kathy Bates miseries Shelby's ankle. It just explodes it.
Yeah, it turns it into chorizo.
I forgot to talk about that poor Russell Edgington got hammered in the face, and it was pretty horrific,
too. Oh, my God,
too.
They did. They showed it for just a half second.
Just his face, probably because it was a really bad papier-mâché, but the way,
right.
Just seeing it for a few frames, it was just a human's face getting destroyed.
Smushed in, yeah.
Oh, boy. So there is a kind of unintentional comedy scene of Shelby and Matt kind of huddling in the back of the truck, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is trying to emote this soaking up all of the Shelby that he's going to get before his life. And it's just them.
They're just talking and breathing into each other's open mouths. It's so weird.
He's soaking it all up. He wants to take all of her carbon dioxide and awkwardly kind of make out in the back of this thing. And what the hell? What's Flora doing in all this?
She's in the front seat.
Oh, that's right. Because a child shouldn't see what is about to happen.
But she can sit in the brain matter.
Yeah,
it's a separate truck.
Right.
I take the second truck, though.
There you go.
That's for damn
sure.
So
you
take
the shotgun.
Wait
for the second truck comes out. Bum rush them. Drive off.
Yep. Shoot the tire first. Wait for the second truck.
Head to the pub and wait for it to all blow over.
it's a world's end.
I just thought that Cuba Gooding Jr. and Sarah Paulson must have laughed so hard and so often filming the scene. Because you know that awkward inching together and huddling together had to have ended up in all they had to bump noses and teeth and all kinds of things. It just to get that one scene of the perfect connection.
Yeah.
Which wasn't even that perfect.
Nah.
And I don't know why, Matt, you want to soak up every last second of Shelby. I'm still not impressed with her, but whatever. Also, I wish Mott was here. You could see the ghost of Mott standing over this going God damn it. How did I not know this was going to happen? My social anxiety is flaring up. God damn it.
Damn it. I should have seen that coming.
So they roar up, and Kathy Bates got the fire still going, and they're preparing to sacrifice. Kathy Bates talks a mess about, there's no pain like a mother who loses her child. With some meaningful glances to her son, or on behalf of her son. And
he's meaningfully glancing right back.
Yep. And she drags Flora off to presumably sacrifice her first. And Priscilla said, you promised she'd be last. And Kathy Bates said, no, child, she goeth first. First, last, does it matter? Is there some significance they're going to turn out for that?
I think maybe Priscilla had some sort of plan that she could have tried to formulate while the first two were dying. She probably would have tried to save Florida. Florida.
Florida. The cop shows up with Lee and drops her off, and Lee sees all this commotion. She's like, oh my God, call for backup. That cop
just. And the officer just fucking books
it. Whips it in reverse, pulls a Rockford Files, and he's back
nothing.
Up the road.
Yeah.
So it seems like the fix was in with this cop department the whole time, right? They knew they were in cahoots with the Polks, or knew that they were not to be trifled with, and they were kind of.
You don't spend any amount of time on the police force knowing that people are disappearing regularly from this house.
Plus, institutionally, you would know how many murders and disappearances had
happened
in this house.
Do you legally have to? Oh, no, we already covered that.
Do you legally have to what?
Disclose how many people have died or disappeared, but yes.
I don't know legally.
They changed the straight name, if you didn't remember the answer either.
They're like, is there lead base paint? I don't know. Are there any vengeful ghosts?
Maybe.
Unknown. Not to our knowledge. So just as Flora's about to get got, Thomas and Son rebels and says no more innocent life will be
spilt,
and he grabs her and drags her into the fire with himself, and these ghosts burst into flames, which I don't even know what the fuck that means.
They're double dead, obviously.
Is this ghost fire?
Ghost fire.
Could the cops have come and won a shootout with these ghosts? It doesn't seem likely, but... Where was Lady Gaga in all this?
She's still in the cellar crying.
She's died of a broken heart.
Yes.
That's what, after hundreds of years, that's what got her.
Uh-huh.
Matt's got that good D.
She's upset over the love game.
So
that's bad romance for you.
Priscilla is happy. Everybody else, you know, all the other colonists are looking around like, what the fuck? Mott unties them as if this is something that he was wanting all along. Pig Dude says, well, fuck this. I'm going to try to kill Flora anyway. But Lee runs his ass over, which was pretty awesome.
Hell yeah. They forgot to burn that Taurus.
Thomason comes flying out of the fire.
Awesome.
And it is badass. She's
really
got
good.
Like this
her
jack-o'-lantern
face looks like
fire
burning
face.
Or burning paper.
Yeah.
That kind of smoky edge you get.
Like, they might have shot the whole budget on that, but it was a really, really cool effect.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it. And then I've been making fun of this the whole time, but I really, even though I didn't care for the characters, this was very gruesome and exciting and somewhat tense by American Horror Story standards, and extremely well done.
Yep. And
it's a damn shame there wasn't a better foundation for it, but what are you going
to
do?
And if Kathy Bates should come back for the rest of the season, as we know it's about to take a turn, then I hope this is the funeral for this terrible accent.
So there are reflections in the wrap-up where they go back to the present day. And Matt is talking about this is a miracle that they got back to a motel, which is, you know, American Horror Story Motel. Mm-hmm. And that they're going to be okay. They're going to be flying back to L.A. homeless, but they're going to be okay. And I'm like, okay, you're homeless, but you still have a really well-paying... Did you lose your well-paying...
For the last time, I'm going to mention that I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous that you take $40,000 of the only cash you have and sink it into this house.
Also, why would you go back to L.A.? You fled L.A. because of the crime. You flee
right.
North Carolina, or maybe the backwoods of North Carolina because of the ghosts. But what? I don't understand the thinking process.
Right.
Shelby has some sort of waking nightmare where she sees some fog rolling underneath the door, and she opens the door, and Thomason's right there with her cleaver. And she says, I never completely got over this experience, and I'm not sure I ever will.
She never actually took a shower either.
She didn't.
Can't do it with the cast.
No. Well, not only that, but like, can you imagine, cause every once in a while I'll get spooked in the shower. Have you ever felt that, like when you're in the shower and you feel like someone's with you and then it's always the cat peeking its head behind the curtain?
I get creeped out by the shower curtain being closed. Like if I go into the bathroom and I'm peeing, I'm like, what the fuck is behind the shower curtain?
You never
right
get
now?
Creeped out in the shower. Like, if you feel like you might have heard something, you're shampooing, you can't open your eyes, and you're like, oh God, it's going to be a psycho type situation.
No.
No? All right. Well, I'm a pussy. Anyway.
The cat's always in the shower with me. So if she were ever not there, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. She'd be the first to go. She'd be your warning. Like, she's the canary in the coal mine. She's the cat in the shower curtain.
I use her as a kitten shield.
I forgot how I was going to this. Oh, but I'm like, yeah, you wouldn't take a shower because you'd start soaping up and you just see, every time you close your eyes, you see Thomason.
Yeah.
Thomason's going to rip down the shower curtain and.
Yep.
Wheep, 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 wheep.
Or you'd see the pig man like he did that one time you went to take a shower.
And he'd be.
She's in showered in. She's in showered in weeks. Every time she tries to, someone scares her off.
Yep.
So she's officially become the dirty hippie we all knew she was.
Feet black as coal to match her soul.
Not feet, Uggs, black as coal.
Okay, that's the episode. It was a pretty short recap because it was lots of action, not a lot of dialogue, and pretty cool. Anything that we need to cover before we get to feedback?
No.
Because we have a decent amount of feedback this week.
I have something to start the feedback with. Pre-feedback.
Please go.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Please do.
Proceed. I googled what rouging your nipples was.
Okay.
And I guess it was a French fashion that women wore in the Marie Antoinette days, the 18th century. And I guess women wore such low-cut bodices that they rouged their nipples in anticipation that a nipple would slip.
Oh, it's like, oh, my gosh, how would this happen?
Even more shocking, some women even wore their bodices so low that their nipples were just out all the time.
Yeah,
does that surprise you?
I mean, no, because...
So just have your nipples out?
Because, I mean, from what I can tell...
Or does it just surprise you more that it's 2016 and we're more backwards than ever? Like a nipple on cable television is shocking, but, yeah, but women rouged them up and wore them loud and proud.
You got to separate America from the rest of the fucking world, because, like, I don't think any country in the Western, quote-unquote, free world is as uptight about sex as we are, and I think that comes from our puritanical background. Like, all the assholes that would get uptight about rouged nipples got on the Mayflower and went over and founded these colonies.
I mean, it's also 2016, though.
It might be time for that to happen again, honestly.
I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back.
Start rouging our nipples right now.
This weekend.
Okay.
Walker Stalker Con. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, shit. Rocket City NerdCon.
Rocket City NerdCon. My bad. Can you edit that out?
No, but you can. We'll be down there.
I'm looking at this picture of Chad Coleman behind your head and thinking of Walker Stalker Con. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Rocket City NerdCon. It's the best time to debut rouge nipples.
Yep. Yep,
and Aaron will be there with them.
We're bringing it back. We'll see what our hosts say about that. So let's get in the feedback. Sarita H. said, I want to throw in my two cents on the season connections theory. In Murder House, the family moves across the country, in this case from east to west rather than opposite of Roanoke. The Murder House family moves to L.A. Why Shelby and Matt flee it. Also, one of the events preceding the move is Vivian, the mother's miscarriage. As a side note, the butcher killed Mr. Chin by throwing a knife in episode 4, which is, I think, how Elsa kills Kathy Bates' character in Freak Show.
Huh.
Seems like every week we get another little connection.
Yeah.
Megan! saw a random theory on Reddit that seemed interesting. The Uber driver in episode 4 is named Rhett Snow. Snow's also the last name of Myrtle in Coven. Think there might be a connection?
Ooh.
I don't think they'd give a guy a name in this type of show unless he was going to come back, let alone one that's already been used in a previous season.
Uber driver?
Yeah. Maybe some connection to Cricket's possible character connection and Quentin Fleming. I agree. It was so bizarre to see this guy set up for essentially 5 seconds of screen time. I would not be surprised if he doesn't come back. I don't know how or why, but I totally agree with your analysis there.
Yep.
Josh F., I can't think of anything to explain away the decisions they made in this episode during the Polk family road trip escape sequence. Matt grabs a shotgun, blows off the driver's head, temporarily knocked out the other Polk in the crash. Then they decided not to drive away in the truck. It would have taken 5 seconds to pull the corpse from the driver's side and toss out Dandy Mott's hillbilly mom from the passenger seat. Well, Josh, if you had Cecily as your passenger, she would just stand there at the side of the road, refusing to get in that his filthy, carnage-laden vehicle. So that might be a little bit of a hitch in your plans, maybe. I don't know. Not only that,
I don't need this shit from you guys. we'll see who survives and who doesn't.
Not only that, but he then decided not to take the shotgun that he'd wrestled away from the unconscious hillbilly they kicked in the back of the truck. Whether or not you stole the truck, why would you not at least grab the gun? We're right there with you, Josh. We're right there with you. Because the narrative needed him to be stupid and defenseless. I mean, did it, though? That's the thing. Like, this is an unforced error. Why couldn't the ghost have done it? You can't kill the ghosts. Send the hunters
after. I mean, the fact that they ever met the Polks to begin with is the biggest problem, number one.
And why did, again, Mott lead them right there? If he's trying to, like, I get he's not trying to save them, but he doesn't want them hanging around.
Right.
That's entirely consistent with his character. I don't get it. Also, the preview for next week all but confirmed for me that they're
spoilers!
What? Oh.
I'm okay with it, but just letting people know.
All but confirmed for me that it's just a preview. Who didn't watch the preview to watch the show? All but confirmed for me that they're interviewing ghosts and the Millers are really dead. We see this camera crew sneaking into some sort of lobby or waiting room with a glimpse of someone sitting on a couch looking as if they're being interviewed or waiting to be interviewed or about to be exploited for ghostly casting couch porn. When I first saw the beginning of the preview, I immediately paused it and said to my wife, oh, no, 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 God damn it, not an AHS version of that Ghost Hunter show. I cannot take this. And then we resumed the preview, and I was relieved that it appears to be something else, despite the Purgatory Ghost interview twist being something we've all been theorizing about as a possibility. I didn't get that, honestly.
So
I didn't get that from that, Josh.
Neither did I, but, I mean, it's interesting that they could be... No, I don't know. It's not enough to speculate on for me.
I mean, I don't know. It could be awesome, but I'm prepared to call
I mean,
decision.
If I'm following Josh's logic, then we could get... What's her name? Sarah Paulson's character who speaks to dead people. I don't remember, but
yeah.
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And...
She went to hotel in the climax of last season.
And then he says, whatever happens, don't turn the cameras off. I don't know. It seems like every Access Hollywood intro... just to get you. I mean, it's like it's clickbait before clickbait was a thing, right? What would you call that? View bait.
It's
when
it's
you
like,
get the at that, 6 o'clock they say that you could find what you're eating for dinner could kill you. Find out at 11 after you've eaten dinner.
That's also whatever paparazzi says when they're approaching Russell Crowe. Whatever happens, don't turn off the cameras. So yeah, I don't know. I mean. I mean, obviously, I think they are going to go full Ghost Hunter. I think this crew is going to come back to the house and hijinks are going to ensue. But I don't think that Shelby and Matt and Lee are going to be ghosts. So
I agree.
Anyway, Nathan E. said, want to get your... What?
I'm sorry, I had one more thing. We don't see them survive all this bullshit for them to actually be dead in the end.
Yeah. Although I guess you'd find out that like maybe Thomason did kill them at the motel room.
I am curious where the motel is, though, in a... an approximation. Like, are they in the same town?
No.
Like, I wouldn't be because
no,
I don't even
no.
trust the police force.
I would put a state line between me and
absolutely.
Those ghosts.
I would drive us until I ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Like, we can take turns. We can take shifts sleeping until we get as far away as we need to.
Nathan E. wants to get our thoughts on Evan Peters' age in relation to the characters he's portrayed for the last two seasons. Last season, he played a wealthy hotel owner, and this season, he plays a wealthy art aficionado. Maybe it's a testament to his youthful looks, but for the past two seasons, Evan Peters comes off as a guy in his early 20s trying to portray wealthy gentlemen in their 40s. This may have been more true last season. Is my perception off on this one? No, I thought he was way too baby-faced to play what he was supposed to be playing last year, but it was funny in like a Gomez Adams kind of way.
I was actually thinking about this a lot, and yes, on the face of it, in 2016... If you're a 20-year-old who owns a hotel, then your dad bought it for you.
Yeah.
If you're in that day and age, then you just grew up faster.
And plus you
also
grew up wealthy.
You're a man full grown.
He was already
35 is like the average lifespan.
But that's the thing. He was married with a child, an older child.
What are we talking about? This season or motel?
Oh, I thought you were then building off that point to go to...
Oh, no, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot that they mentioned he left behind a wife and child.
Because obviously, because of my first thought was when they established he was gay, I'm like, what the fuck? How did they get children? How was the
14-year-olds can father children.
Sure, but like gay men don't traditionally... I mean, I get there's nothing stopping them. They do... withdrawn.
I've seen Game withdrawn. Of Thrones. I know how this
Brock
works.
Brock Hudson had kids. You can adopt or you can have children with a woman. Like, there's nothing stopping you from procreating just being gay. So just objection overruled on the grounds of real life. So I don't know. I mean, he is too baby-faced, but, you know, Angela Bassett doesn't look old enough to play a mother of a 12-year-old either. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, right.
She's way too baby-faced as well.
Exactly. She's way too young to have a 12-year-old daughter.
Zeph. And the award for really? That was the best take? Goes to that historian lady because, God, that line reading was awful.
Fucking agreed.
Agreed. Like, I was really prepared to have a moment of silence for Shelby for not being able to wear UGG boots anymore, and then they played it off like she was just a sprain or something. She must have sprinkled some pumpkin spice on her wounds or something to make it heal that easy. Yeah, she would have needed, like, 90 pins in that wrecked joint. That ankle was now a pile of gravel that would have to be knitted back together.
Absolutely was. Like, she didn't have that much fat to slough through, but it was wrecked.
I don't know. Maybe Sarah Paulson's got like ankles the size of 2-liter bottles. Lots of potting down there. Just to play devil's advocate or Shelby's advocate for a second.
Please don't.
If Shelby hadn't got Leeson away for a few days, Shelby, Matt, and Flora would have all died. In a way, Shelby saved everyone through her own stupidity. Uh-huh. Otherwise, Lee would have felt or been with the group, and everyone would have hashtag felt the burn. She's right. If Shelby hadn't acted out and been a lunatic, Lee wouldn't have been able to come and save them, and they all would have died.
For real.
So, thanks, Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be the record for shortest time between introduction and screaming for Evan P's latest character. That said, he was pretty funny. I enjoyed everything about him. It was over the top. It was funny. It was probably made people that are not cool with the on-screen gay relationship super uncomfortable. Love everything about it. My official headcanon says the only reason Kathy Bates has control over everyone is that they're all afraid she will impart her accent upon them all. Yep, that voice is the true American Horror Story.
Yes.
I wanted to know what hotel references did you guys catch? I got the ripping open of the sheets was similar to the people breaking out of mattresses, but yeah. I probably need a second rewatch. I think the motel was a tongue-in-cheek also callback to hotel.
You know, the other thing is that there is a heavy focus on children this episode. The redneck mother, it's all about her children, Lee's yeah, child. That, I mean, I thought that was a really heavy theme this episode.
Right on. It's episode 6 next, and Aaron has promised me filet mignon. If it's bad, it's all on Aaron. Now, what, did you clean your ears out?
Put it directly on Aaron.
I said Murphy has promised us filet mignon. Didn't I? I thought that was the analogy.
I think you need to take this one for the team.
Like, he's got Coney dogs, and, you know, he comes out and's like, hey, filet mignon's up in episode 6. Like, what the fuck am I eating that Coney dogs for?
You know, I don't remember. You really lost me in that analogy.
I did. It went. I guess it's not your.
For that reason, it's still on you.
I guess it's not your fault, Zeph. That analogy was a bit much. Joe M. from Philly. I'm glad to see us moving on from the Roanoke portion of this season because it had been feeling like a 1 hour of Ghost Hunters content being stretched over 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Totally agreed. But how many disjointed, unrelated horror movie references can one squeeze in? I laughed out loud when what I can only.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I just remembered another one that I'm sure the listener is about to say.
Okay, we'll see. Keep it in mind.
Okay.
I laughed out loud when what I can only assume is the Taiwanese girl from the Slaughtered Chin family did her best impression of the girl from The Grudge or The Ring.
Scared the shit out of me.
Or take your pick of any of the creepy, wet-haired Japanese girl horror movies. Then Wes Bentley does Here's Johnny from
that
The Shining.
One. Yeah, that's the one.
As he chops open her door... then the hillbillies do their ironically Kathy Bates impression from Misery when giving Shelby the sledgehammer to the ankles. When I saw the hillbillies eating Russell Edgington, it reminded me of a horrible and hilarious movie from my youth called Motel Hell, in which the people checked into a motel and the hillbilly proprietors took the motel guests and burned them or buried them in the garden and then chopped them up and used them as a secret ingredient for fritters.
They buried them and then chop them up?
Well, you know, it's not the sweetest of meat, but whatever.
Give it that like earthy taste.
Yeah, like a good peaty scotch. You know, you got to bury your victims to let them fully ripen. And they also wore a pig's head when they would kill their victims. This show is such a hot mess this year, but guess what? I'm still watching. I'm glad they're hitting the reset button for the second half. They have, however, really upped the gore and oh shit moments these last 2 weeks. Greg Nicotero challenge accepted. Yeah, I tell you what, man, between Game of Thrones and their crazy-ass zombies and this show, he does have a lot to live up for. Which I think he's... It seems like they're always raising the bar, these visual effects guys.
Yeah.
On the horror. Joe N. has the good, the bad, and not the ugly. Maybe we can supply the ugly.
Okay.
Joe N. The good. Francis Conroy gave the best performance so far this season with the only convincing backwoods hillbilly accent in the show. I'm from the South and I couldn't understand half of what she's saying, which is my litmus test. The bad. The show doesn't have the balls to abandon the setting or the current characters, including the two series staples that just made their first appearance. So we know they're going back to the house with the film crew, which is fine, but not really a twist by any metric, since we already knew it was a TV show about a TV show. Mm-hmm. We get some shaky cam for a few scenes until the show forgets its own gimmick, and then we're pretty much back to where we started, a haunted house with a slightly different set of people in the same exact situation as before. I'm making a lot of assumptions, but I don't trust AHS to make any clever, bold, or interesting story decisions, and my biggest fear is that they give a paper-thin justification for why the three or four real characters would ever go back to that place that traumatized them for life. If they can't justify that, episode 6 might be where I have to tap out. I'm hoping it's just a documentary, guys. That so we'll have a completely different cast being terrorized by. And the other thing is, how will things go different now that Thomason is dead? Not dead?
Double dead. Double dead.
Is Lady Gaga going to take more of a front seat? I don't know. I hope they can do something, because you're right. If it's just the same, I mean, they've shown us all the things that can happen in this place. So how are they going to ramp it up? Yeah. We'll see. Michael H., I'm not liking this mockumentary style anymore, and I cannot wait for next week. That's assuming they bail on it. But then again, I may just be hyping myself up. Need to be careful with this show. Either way, I'm in for the long haul. Also, everybody, just keep in mind, we're going to get a proper intro sequence next week.
Well,
we better. I thought in the previews they seemed to be kind of showing some of that preview kind of stuff going on, and I think that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think the season has been a significant improvement over the past three. This episode specifically was probably the best one the season, if not the creepiest. Sure, the characters are making some idiotic choices, but that's pretty easy to overlook. Didn't enjoy the OG Mott bit that much, especially if it's going to be their connection to the other season. I did enjoy watching his ghost face appear every now and then, though. I thought that was cool. Maybe there's more to come with him. Who knows? And the amount of sex has gone down considerably. That's never been a huge issue to me when it comes to TV or movies, but if the plot has fallen off and the characters are terrible, last season, gratuitous amounts of sex is really all you remember, which is never a good thing. Also, Aaron, I don't know how you've managed to not say Butcher of Laverne when talking about Kathy Bates. Might be because I enjoyed that past season of Fargo a lot more than you. How have you not yet watched the first... Oh, God, it's the weekly shaming of Aaron.
Let him have it.
You'll love them. Obviously, you're busy with all you guys do, but somehow, some way, you've got to squeeze them in. Okay. Do I make a promise before next year?
Yes.
See, we plan to watch a lot more scary stuff this October, but man, it's been jam-packed. Didn't we? We watched scary last weekend, didn't we? I know we did, because I remember jumping a lot. What was it that we watched?
It was The Debate, I think.
I know we went to the Kings Island Fright Fest, but I felt like we came home from that and then watched something super scary. But I don't know what it is, so that's went nowhere.
Yep.
Side note, I love the new studio tour, but my girlfriend thinks it needs more of a woman's touch. She asked me to mention to Cecily that she should go in and touch up on a few things. I dug it, but what do I know? I've still got framed maps from game cases still up on my walls. She'll never convince me to take down my map of Vice City. What do you think, Cecily? What would you do? Some drapes? What would you do in this?
I don't know what a woman's touch means.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You really don't?
I really don't.
You decorate the exact same way I do?
No, if this were my studio, I wouldn't decorate it this way.
There'd be a lot more...
But it'd be suited to my taste, not my sex.
Okay. But you know, I know that you have a pretty... You have a lot of geek paraphernalia, okay?
Yeah.
So we have got a lot of that in common. Uh-huh. But one of your geek paraphernalia is a computer programmer, video game designer Barbie.
Yes.
So that's a woman's touch.
Is it?
I wouldn't have a video game designer Barbie.
It's because you're sexist.
Fair.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, if it were my studio...
Doilies. I think he's wanting doilies. And frills. Lots more pink.
If it were my studio, I'd paint it blue. I wouldn't have this much shit. I really wouldn't.
Really? It's supposed to provide interest.
The pictures would be in line with the frames, as Don Draper is very much out of his frame now.
He used to be, but he's slowly fallen out of the... Uh-huh. We need to take him off the wall.
Is that what a woman's touch means? I just straighten things up?
Yeah, attention to detail.
Okay.
Actually giving a shit. I think those are... falls within that rubric.
Yeah. I'd probably wash this glass that I use every week.
Oh.
But then again, I also use the same glass every week, so I'm a very... But yeah, please write in and elaborate more on what it is you think that I could do better.
There's another woman throwing the woman's touch at you, so this seems like it's going to be girl-on-girl violence.
No, stop trying to incite some bullshit.
Race war. No, not race war. Sex war. Sex war. That's what we want in this. That's a true American Horror Story.
All right, send your wife over. I'll fight her in a pool of Jell-O.
And we'll put it on the cameras right here in the studio.
All
right. That's the woman's touch. We'll get rid of the desk. We'll get a baby tub full of gelatin, red gelatin.
Done. That's how I would put my woman's touch on the studio.
Rouge both sets of nipples and fight it out.
Yes. And I'll sell advertising space vis-a-vis temporary tattoos all over my body.
There you go.
Bring it back.
There you go. Casper and Harry's and... maybe a can you wear MeUndies while you're doing that?
They haven't sponsored us yet, but I'm just trying to get the ball. Obviously.
I'm trying to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, get those balls rolling.
The balls need to run.
The running balls of the need balls. To run, yes.
Three or four people die every year in the running of the balls.
And you know what?
It's a real thing.
Might even get Donald Trump to sponsor it. Just put the cap on this sexist pig.
Oh, yeah?
The lipstick on the sexist pig.
Our studio would look cool gilded.
It would look really cool gilded.
It would look really cool.
Like the reflection back in the camera, which is blind people constantly.
Yeah, the lighting would just like I'd look amazing. Amy J.
Get a sweet comb over.
I've got to say, I should try that. I mean, I'm trying to go bald gracefully, but you know. Amy J. says, I've got to say that I think this is the most enjoyable episode of the Roanoke chapter. Lots of blood and gore, a couple of genuine jump scares, and some more dimension added to the Polk family. Loved Frances Conroy as Mama Polk. That woman is a badass in the worst possible ways. Have we seen Frances Conroy since her turn on as like one of the head witches in Coven? I think that was the last time we've seen her.
Yeah, she was Dandy Mott's mom.
Oh, shit.
I'm trying to think of who she was in Hotel.
I really crapped the bed on that one.
Was she in Hotel? That I can't remember.
Maybe she wasn't a real estate agent, was she?
No.
Okay.
Nah.
Slightly underwhelmed by the Edward Philippe Mott tie-in. For me, a link between all the series should mean more than just a character conveniently sharing the same family name as the other prominent characters in previous seasons. The plot would have been no different if the original homeowner had been a completely unrelated English eccentric. There was nothing about the fact that he was a Mott that had an important impact in the story. That's true. Like, the things I was expecting from a Dandy Mott's great-great-great-great-granddaddy... It's a lot more... I guess he was petulant and kind of... he's petulant and murderous. What else do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he locked those people down on a capricious whim and skeletonized them. So, I don't know. I guess that sounded good until I started really thinking about, yeah, that's kind of Mottish.
Yeah.
That's Mott-like. It's Motty.
Well, what his mother said in the Freak Show season was that, you know, years of inbreeding led to this. His father was a much more terrible man, so I think that...
Yeah, he's like the less extreme form. As you go back in the Mott family tree, they're not as crazy. This guy's still pretty crazy, though.
Yeah. This guy's... Yeah.
All right.
Not a great start. Wonder what his father was like.
Where does
a Mott line
begin? American Horror Story Season 7.
Also, do you think the name Mott would survive 300 years?
I don't know.
Like, last names evolve.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Like, you weren't...
They're an applesauce magnet.
Your last name wasn't your last name when your grandparents lived in Germany.
No, totally they were. We have not anglicized it. Hubbard is an old German name. from the Grimm tale, Old Mother Hubbard. It's just it's been passed down for hundreds and hundreds of years.
All right.
Nevertheless, it was a fun hearing a shout out to the Dandy being the last in the family line and hearing the history had quite rightly documented the events in Freak Show for the scandal that they were. Thanks to the balls to wall nature of the episode, I've come away from Roanoke chapter feeling more positive than I would have, say, two episodes ago. I'm still baffled by all the decision making from pretty much every single character, especially because Matt and Shelby's escape was done in pretty much the same manner that they could have and should have done weeks ago. Get in the car and get the fuck out. I guess Shelby needed a crushing mallet to the leg to finally see that. As a way of focusing one's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Bourbon Queen from Dallas said, I really did enjoy the episode from last night. Although I was underwhelmed by the butcher's son all of a sudden growing a conscience, where was that through all of the other slaughters? Where was Gaga whispering in their ears? I thought Evan Peters... That's a good point. I don't understand why all this crazy shit was happening. Well, you know, you solved it for me. She's just grieving for her loss of Matt.
Yes.
I thought Evan Peters was fantastic as Mott. I haven't been impressed with his acting since Murder House. I mean, I wasn't impressed with his acting. I wasn't entertained by his acting.
Right.
So that's nice.
What Peters is here for.
He needs to be a side character, right?
Are you not entertained?
Yes. Yes.
He's always a side character.
No, Freak Show, he wasn't a side character, and that was the problem.
That was the biggest mistake they've ever made.
Because his go-to move is being campy and silly or shouting, and he needed to carry some dramatic weight there as Lobster Boy. I'm super excited to see where this twist goes. I'm thinking it'll be like Ghost Hunters Live Halloween show, and they'll do it at the house, but of course it goes awry. That'll be interesting if next week is kind of like the setup, and then there's something really crazy that happens on a Halloween episode. That would be pretty entertaining and sweet.
It's usually what they do.
Yeah.
What's next week? The week before
Halloween.
Halloween.
Next, the week after will be Halloween. The official Halloween.
The week after next.
So there you go. another episode in the books. If you'd like to send us feedback, two ways to do so, ahs@baldmove.com and forums.baldmove.com, where you can discuss it each week with your fellow fans.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we've been promised filet mignon by several sources, including me, apparently. We will see what we get. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
Have a great weekend, everybody.